Well, it's Thanksgiving week, and I thought we'd talk about Thanksgiving. I've always loved Thanksgiving Sunday, Thanksgiving service, the opportunity to talk about it, because I think one of the reasons we have Thanksgiving is not just dressing turkey and whatever favorite that you like on Thursday or whenever you might be celebrating that. God has always used Thanksgiving and kind of a preparation for the holidays just to remind me what my attitude ought to be like, what my spirit ought to be like. You know, because Thanksgiving is a holiday, but it's really more a lifestyle for us as believers. Maybe you've heard this before, but it's an older saying that says, your life is God's gift to you, but what you do with it is your gift to God. Your life is God's gift to you, but what you do with it is a gift from God. So that's what we're doing. I want to suggest to you that we think today about our attitude toward Thanksgiving. Excuse me. It's a lifestyle. God wants you to be a very thankful person. What I noticed is that I probably think I'm more thankful than I really am. That ever happened to you? You know, you sort of just say, oh yeah, I'm a thankful person. Well, sometimes you got to ask somebody else, because they hear you, they hear your voice, they hear your grumbling and complaining. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking the one next to you right there. We need opportunities to kind of refresh our thankfulness. Quite a few scriptures today. So Psalm 50:23 says, "The sacrifice that honors me is a thankful heart." The sacrifice that honors me is a thankful heart. So what God wants in us is an attitude of thanksgiving. You know, scientists and people that study this kind of stuff has figured out that gratitude is one of the healthiest emotions that we can have. There's nothing better for your health than being full of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. So as we're talking about that today, I hope that your entire life would be wrapped up in gratitude. I mean, you can't start over. You got to start where you are. And nobody's totally happy about how you looked in the mirror this morning, or how you felt when you got up, or maybe some struggles that you might be having in some way in your life. But God does not say, wait for everything to be perfect and then be thankful. Be thankful, He says, as an attitude of our life. In the book of the Bible that speaks most about thanksgiving, I believe, is the book of Psalms. Over and over again in Psalms, it reminds us. Almost, verse after verse reminds us about this attitude of thanksgiving. So I want to give you like three particular points about how to make your life like a thank you to God, an expression of gratitude. So why should we be thankful people? Number one, because of who God is. Because of who God is. I mean, if God were mean-spirited and petty, vindictive, there'd be no reason to be thankful for Him. If God was kind of aloof and uncaring, indifferent, there would be no reason to be grateful. If God was inconsistent and unreliable, there'd be no reason to offer thanks to Him. But He is none of those things. Our God, He is the ultimate Lord of the universe. He is almighty, unchanging. He is self-aware. He is all-knowing, ever-present, and able to accomplish everything that needs to be done. Nothing is outside of His ability and power. God abounds in goodness. God does not change. He is a compassionate God. The Bible calls Him a consuming fire. He is our dwelling place. He is the God of peace. God is a righteous judge. He is all-knowing, all-powerful, compassionate, eternal. He is everywhere at all times. God is faithful. He is our future forever and ever. God is forgiving. He is gracious. He is always consistent. He is really incomprehensible. God is invisible. the just one of all creation. He is the light. He is long-suffering. He is love. God is merciful. Don't you feel a little excited already right now? There's more. God is mighty. God is holy. God is most loving, most wise. He is our stronghold. God is near. God is one. God is opposed to the proud, but lifts up the humble. God is our helper, our salvation. God is perfect, righteous. He is our shepherd. God is our spirit. God is the sustainer of the soul. He's the Almighty One, the Creator, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. He is head over every man. God is true. God is unequaled. He is with the righteous, and He is without limits. That's our God. Shouldn't we be grateful and thankful? Psalm 145 verse 3 says, "The Lord is great." The Lord is great. He is worthy of our praise. No one can understand how great He is. Is He worthy of your gratitude? You know, if God is big enough to create the whole universe, He's certainly able to take care of you. Your problems, your needs. Sometimes people think that God is not interested in them. But God is interested in every detail of the universe. He's invested in us, and He has the power to do anything. Every problem that you bring to God is small, because God doesn't have any big problems. They might seem big to you, but they're small to Him. Psalm 97, verse 12. "Give thanks to God as you remember how holy He is." Holy. That means that He's pure, that He's perfect. That means there's nobody like Him in the whole universe. He's faultless. We can be thankful to God because He is holy. Psalm 107, verse 8, "Give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love." Whew. No one will ever love you the way God loves. No man, no woman will ever love you the way God loves you. I mean, the only reason there's love in the universe is because God is love. We can know love. We can give love to each other because God has poured out His love on us. We thank God because He's great. He's holy. He has unfailing love. Psalm 7:17, "I will thank the Lord because He is just." I mean, think about that. That means He's fair. That means He's not judgmental. That means He's unbiased. Just means that God always gets it right. God never gets it wrong. Can we thank God for that? I thank God. Psalm 54:6 says, "I will thank the Lord because He is good." God is a good God. Everything in your life good comes from God. If God is not a good God, there would be no good anywhere. God is good. We teach that to our children, and we know it as adults. God is good. He's been faithful. I mean, that's something that we can thank God for. Psalm 118, verse 1. Tell the Lord how thankful you are. I mean, that's what this week is about, right? Remembering to be thankful. Tell how thankful you are because He is kind and always merciful. You know, I looked up the word always. You know what it means? Always. Always merciful. You know, we're not always merciful, but He is always full of mercy toward you, praise God. Toward the people that you know. Do you know that even people that you don't like and get along with, He is always merciful. He's merciful to us all. The Bible says that God is consistent, always caring, always with us. So how do I show thanks to God? I just thought of some different ways. One of the things we do today, I mean, first of all, didn't you enjoy the worship today? Christine and Esther, great job on that. Singing is such a great reminder of giving thanks to God. I love so many of the words we sang today. I knew those songs, and that was great. You know, sing your thanks to God. You know, I kind of looked around to make sure. Most of you were singing. A lot of you are clapping your hands. If you weren't singing, I'm not going to call you out or anything. But, you know, you need to sing your thanksgiving to God. You notice every time we come to church, we sing? I mean, that's not just true for Nazarenes, even though Jim and Rosemary, they knew what they were up to, man. They were helping us to worship and give thanks to God that you can lift, have your spirit lifted and encouraged. I sang that song this morning. I hope it was a blessing to you, but I knew it was a blessing to me, man. I just wanted to lift my praise and thanks coming to Jesus. So thinking about, you know, the Bible doesn't say you got to be a great singer or be on pitch. It just says make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. You know, I know some of you probably, I saw some Cub hats and some different little sports things going on when you came in today. So I know some of you are cheerers and fans. You know, when we cheer for ball games or basketball or football, whatever it might be, or you go to your grandchild's, a game and you're out there and you're cheering for them. If you're not fussing at the ref, I mean, you're cheering, you know, for them. You know, we're fans. So we do that. Well, in church, we're not fans. I mean, we're fanatics. Right? I mean, it's okay to be excited about Jesus. And it comes out in our gratitude. So singing, such an important place. We can thank God in prayer. We thank God in prayer. I mean, when you talk to God, don't talk to Him like, oh, great creator of the mind. You know, He's like, what are you talking about? Like, He made you. He made you like you are. Just talk to Him just like you would your very best friend, and tell Him what you're thankful for. Don't you think that blesses God? That we would express our gratitude to Him, our thankfulness. So taking some time today or this week, what are you grateful for? Have you taken some time to give thanks? Maybe the obvious things like family or things that God is currently doing in your life. Or maybe think about some of the things this week that you can be thankful for. We're gonna be in Murfreesboro for Thanksgiving. I have two children that live there, and the third one's coming. And I have a lot to be thankful for. I've been messing with this foot here for a few weeks now, and I'm just thankful that even when things are kind of weird in your life and you're trying to figure this out, I can't wait to just remind my children that God is good. God is good, and that He is. I'm so thankful that He's been with us and helped us through, you know, a difficult few weeks. Maybe you got some things that you need to be thankful about in prayer. So we are so thankful for who God is. Amen. Number two, we are thankful people, full of gratitude, because not only who He is, but what He has done. What He has done. You see, there's a difference between who He is and what He's done. You know, when we start talking about who He is, that's praise. That's what we've been doing, giving praise for Him. But man, when we think about what He's done, we have to just be thankful people. The verse says in Psalm 52:9, I will thank you, God, forever for what you have done. Man, He's done everything. He's done millions of things. Just think about some of the stuff He's done. He created you. Not just Lily, but He created you. Created your life, who you are. Psalm 94 encourages us that not only did He create us, but He saved us. Praise God. I will praise you and rejoice because you saved me. We give thanks to God for what He's done. He created us. He saved us. I give thanks to God because He answers prayer. He answers prayer. There's reasons to thank God. Psalm 118:21. I praise the Lord for answering my prayers. God answered any prayers lately? God working in your life? Give thanks to God. I'm so thankful that God gives direction to us. Psalm 16:7. I praise the Lord because He guides me. How does He do that? He guides us through the Bible. He guides us through spiritual teachings. He guides us through circumstances. He guides us through godly friends. There are so many ways that God guides us, and He asks us to be thankful. I'm so thankful that Jesus came to earth and gave His life for you and me. Let's be thankful for that. Maybe you're even in this service today, and maybe you're not even sure. You know, He came and died for you. Yeah, I know it sounds unbelievable, but you can even sit in a seat like where you are right now and meet Christ and go to heaven because of your commitment to Him right here in this room today. Come to Jesus. Draw close to Him. Colossians 2:13 and 14 says, "We were spiritually dead because of our sins and our sinful nature, but God gave us new life with Christ. He forgave all of our sins and canceled the record that contained all the charges against us." Woo-hoo. Hey, that'd be pretty good, right? If somebody came along and said, "I'm just going to pay off your credit card. All the charges are paid." Boy, you'd be happy. You'd be doing a little dance this afternoon. Huh? That's what He did. All the charges that were against us. All the sin, the impact on that on our lives. He has offered us forgiveness in Christ. You know, forgiveness is free, but it's expensive. It costs Jesus everything. And He never wants us to forget. So how does the Bible say that we should give thanks for what God has done? So here's a couple of examples maybe for this week for you. The first one is that the Bible tells us to tell others the good news. Tell others the good news. You know this verse? This is Isaiah 12, verse 4. "Thank the Lord and praise His name. Tell the world about His wonderful love." So one of the ways that we express gratitude, a gratitude lifestyle, is to tell others about Christ. To share our story. You know, nobody has the story that you have. Nobody else can tell your story or my story. I have to share it. And that is the story that needs to be told. I heard Matt say, "Next Sunday starts Advent." Oh, that's such a good time to invite people to church. And we're going to have Advent and Christmas services and such a great opportunity. So think about telling somebody about how good God has been to you, about your thankful heart, and about what God has done in your life. You know, you might be talking to people that really question or are skeptical of things in their life, but the one thing they can't deny is what you know that God did for you. And that's your story, expressing thankfulness to God. Another way that we give thanks to God for what He has done is by giving to God. You know, I noticed that our holiday is called Thanksgiving, not thanks eating, or thanks for football, or thanks for whatever. Thanksgiving, right? I saw it on your wall. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Psalm 50, verse 4 says, "Give an offering to show your thanks to God. Give Him what you promised." So if we're serious about giving thanks to God, then we give to Him. Now, the pastor didn't talk to me about offerings. Well, I'm not raising any money today. I just want you to know that part of being a person of gratitude is the giving part, as well as the thanks. Offering thanksgiving to God. How I give shows the level of my gratitude. As I've been blessed by God, I give more. As I'm blessed by God, I express my thanks. You know how you spell love? G-I-V-E. That's a good way to spell it. The way that we give expresses our gratitude to God. 2 Corinthians 9, 11 and 12 says, "Yes, you will be enriched so that you can give even more generously. And when you take your gifts to those who need them, they will break out in thanksgiving to God." So you know what that means? That means that not only are you expressing gratitude when you're giving, but when you give, other people give thanks to God as well. It's a great model for us. So we're giving thanks for who God is, for what God has done. One more. We live a life of gratitude because of what God has promised. Of what God has promised. God is not done doing good things in your life. He is not finished. He's going to do more for the rest of your life and even beyond. God has good things and promises for you. How do you know what God has in store for you? Because there are promises in the Bible. Thousands of promises. Now, I not added them all up, but somebody did, and it was thousands of promises from God. Psalm 71:22. I will praise you, God, because you are faithful to your promises. Have you been giving God thanks for His promises? Have you ever said, God, thank you for those promises that you've given to me? I'll just give you a few examples. John 11:25 is a promise from Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live again. Woo! Are you thankful for life after this life? Praise God. We thank God that He has something in store for us as believers. Oh, I don't know. I don't really worry about what the world has to say about all that. They don't believe in the second coming, but Jesus is coming back. He's coming back to get you and to get all of us that are believers that trust Him. He wants us to put our trust in Him, knowing that He has a plan for us to come. What a promise from God. Another promise from God is He promises to meet all your needs. All your needs. He promises to be with you. Matthew 6:33. One translation says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. Another translation says, God will give you everything you need. That's a promise. From day to day, if you live for Him and make the kingdom of God your priority. Nothing more important than the kingdom of God. To our God. It's His plan for the world to put our trust in Him. Are you grateful for the promise that God has promised to meet your needs? One more. God promises, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. That's a promise from God. Some of you have felt abandoned. Some of you have felt rejected by people in your life. But God will never abandon you. God will never reject you. You can walk away. You can turn your back on Him, but He will always love you. He will always care for you, and He will always welcome you. Have you thanked God for that? We could list a lot more promises, but offering our thanks to God. So how do we do that? What's kind of our practice? Well, one way that we offer our thanks to God for the promises of God is that we serve Him. We find ways to give of ourselves and to serve Him. And, I don't know what kind of place Canton First is, what kind of the background it, but, you know, I have this belief, you know, Matt, there's a few people that think it's kind of like a, you know, that 80-20 that people talk about, that 20% of the people do like 80% of the work or whatever. I never liked that. So at Pekin, I just told them, we're like 100%. Everybody does something, you know, whether it's praying or serving or giving. I noticed, he gave you an opportunity. Yeah, I don't know if you like doing floats or not, but there's an opportunity to serve. We're going to be a witness in our community with this float. You know, one time I was in Pekin, and I'd go around, I'd talk to the mayor and people that were in charge of things. And so they had this marigold festival. You know, maybe Canton has one. Y'all have some kind of little city community thing. So we got the marigold festival. And so I went to those people and I said, what do you need? And they said, oh, we don't need anything. And I said, well, I know that's not true. I said, we all need something. And I said, it seems to me that you don't have very many volunteers. Like, you know, the city doesn't have a whole lot of volunteers. But our church, I said, you know, we're like the volunteer capital of Tazewell County. You know, we serve and we work. And so I said, so I'm going to ask you one more time. What do you need? Because I'm not looking for anything. not looking to do a fundraiser. I'm just looking to serve our community. And he said, well, we're having trouble with the parade. Said, you know, we can't quite get enough workers there. And so could you help us with the parade? And I said, oh, I can run a parade. And he said, you ever run a parade before? I said, nope, can't be that hard. And I said, and I got people. He said, you got people? I said, oh, yeah. So I announced it one day, and we had a little meeting. I had 30 people show up. And I said, you know, whether it's me by myself or all of us together, we're going to lead the parade. Not just a float in the parade. We're going to lead the whole parade. So the city got the whole list together or whatever. And so we all show up out there. We got our shirts on and we were walking around and everybody's got their little assignments and we're walking with different groups and kind of keeping them in line. And I told them, you know, we're not the parade police. You know, don't you hate it when the parade gets all divided up and one's down here and somebody's way down there slow? You know, they wanted us to keep them together. I said, we're not the police. We're the morale. We're going to help our community feel good about themselves. So we're walking down the street and we're greeting people. We're doing a parade. We ever done a parade before? No, but we did one like 8 years or something. Then we led this parade. What is it? It's about serving, because you have a life of gratitude. We need to offer to the people around us. Yeah, and I'm not telling you to sign up for the parade. I'm just giving you an example of how we use our abilities, our resources, who we are as a church, to be what God wants us to be. So the whole point today is live your life thankful, as a thanksgiving gift to God. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, whatever you do, taking out the garbage, washing the car, changing a diaper, helping somebody across the street, taking a meal to somebody that's sick, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the last phrase, giving thanks to God. Living a life of gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks most of the time in your life. No, that's messed up, right? It doesn't say that. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the Lord's will for you in Christ Jesus. You're praying for God's will? Be thankful. Get that one done, and He will help us with other things. And notice it says, be thankful in all circumstances. It doesn't say be thankful for everything. You know, some things are rough. Some things are difficult to deal with. But no matter what we're dealing with, in all circumstances, give Him thanks. Would that be you? Would that be you today, where you could say, I got some stuff going on, Pastor, but I'm going to be thankful. Even this week, I'm going to pray about my attitude, my perspective on gratitude. Last verse, Colossians 2:7. Let our lives overflow with thanksgiving for all He has done. Let our lives overflow with thanksgiving. Wouldn't that be a great goal for this week, for the end of this year, is to lay aside any grumbling or struggling. You know, you can't make them at home be full of gratitude. They got to choose it for themselves. But all we can do is model. Grateful people. Grateful for how God has blessed us. As we close today, we're going to pray in just a moment, but I wanted to pray in a special way. I'm going to ask your pastor and Stephanie if they would step up here with me. You already heard me say it. I think you are incredibly blessed by your pastoral family here. And God wants to do great things in their life and in the ministry here. I know Matt, and so I know that he has dreams and visions of what God wants to accomplish here. You know, this church is not kind of near the end of the line, are we? No, these are a new, fresh day. You're in the first year with this pastor. And I'm telling you, as the years go along, God begins to bless that. He's building great relationships with you, but the possibilities are tremendous of what God wants to do here. You know, but we have to have the right attitude and the right spirit. We got to come together. We got to be grateful people. We got to work together as a congregation. And that's on pastor as well as on people as we come together. And then we have to pray. Let's pray for God to give Canton the best days it's ever had. I don't even know what that means. Only God knows what that means. But I know there's people in your family that need Jesus. I know there's people in this community that need Jesus. There's people that you don't even know yet that God, if people and pastor get together and have the right heart and the right desires, God looks down, I believe this, and says, okay, those people, they're ready. They're ready for some of the people that I know are lost, that need to come to know Christ. You believe that? I really do. You know, and I pastored for 35 years, and I always believed that if we as a church were together and we were united and we were praying, that God would do beyond what we could even dream of. So we're going to pray for that today. Is that okay? I want to see if you would just come and join me. Would you come and kind of gather around these guys? I know you love them. And let's just gather around the front if you're willing to come. If you don't want to get too close, I totally understand that. But if you will come and let's kind of just unite ourselves together. You just come up along the front here, and I'll move out of the way, and you kind of come around. We're for you. And, you know, won't have them very many days like this where they'll all come around you, but I hope you feel it all the time. For you. You believe in you. You said this morning, remembering the call of God, we feel that. We see that. You know, you're not in camp by accident. God planned it all out, and He brought you here because the kingdom needs you. The kingdom needs this church. So we're going to pray together. But this is not just like a nice little prayer when the DS was here and we prayed for our pastor. No, let's believe God. Let's commit to praying and seeing what God wants to accomplish here. You with me? Amen. Let's pray for you. Father in heaven, we ask for a divine, holy moment right now. Lord, I'm so aware that these are praying people. I know that this is a praying congregation, and I thank you for that. And I thank you for a God-called man and woman that Matt and Stephanie prayed through and were willing to move to Canton, Illinois, to live in this nice house right next door and to pastor this church, to care for the sick and the hurting, to lead the lost to Christ, to love children, to love teenagers, to love adults of every age. Lord, only you in your wisdom can see what could happen here. We thank you, Lord, for a day back in January when we installed Matt as pastor here. But Lord, we just come together as we come toward the holidays and the end of this first year. Lord, we are calling out to you. We come to Jesus and ask you to do in your church what only you are able to do. Lord, we pray not for just treading water. We pray for a move of God. We pray for the hand of God to be on this church, on this community, on other churches in this community. We pray for an outpouring of the Spirit of God on Canton, Illinois. We thank you, Lord. We know that it's not just about the Nazarenes. It's us doing our part to be a part of the kingdom work that you're accomplishing here. So thank you for the relationships that Matt and Stephanie are building. Thank you for the people that they're getting to know in this community. And thank you, Lord. I pray that you would open doors for the opportunity. I pray that you would allow there to be a personal culture about this church and about the people, that when people know about Canton First, they think, boy, those people love Jesus. Man, those people love each other. Those are praying people. Those people love our town. Oh God, would you anoint Matt in greater and fresher ways than he's ever known? As he's thinking about his preaching for the coming year, as he's thinking about opportunity, I just pray that you would lay on his heart idea after idea and opportunity after opportunity. Lord, we pray for what happens in this sanctuary, that the worship will be awesome. We pray that the preaching will be so anointed from you. And Lord, not just informationally, but that people will respond. We pray that, Lord, you would bring our family, our loved ones, our friends to church. We pray especially that you would send people that are lost into our room here, that they could hear your word, that they could feel love from a group of people they don't even know well, and realize there's something about this place, and Jesus is here. So thank you. Anoint this place, and we give you great gratitude and honor today. We pray that the way we live our lives, the way that we celebrate a holiday, the way that we honor you, would be pleasing in your sight. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, and all the people said together, amen, amen. God bless you. It's so great to be with you. Love our pastor. So good.